God bless you, beloved, and welcome to Grateful for Love. This is Regina. We have been talking about life by the Spirit, and we will continue with our part four on next week. But I wanted to include today a discussion of an article that I found written by Matt Perman, found on his website, mattperman.com. And he wrote an article entitled, Six Things That Christ Accomplished by His Death. And I thought it would be appropriate to include a discussion of this article since we have just observed and celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this past Sunday. And so this article I thought would be very appropriate to place here at this juncture within the podcast. And so these are the six core things that Christ accomplished in his death on the cross. And the very first thing that was shared was expiation. And that's spelled E-X-P-I-A-T-I-O-N. And expiation means the removal of our sin and guilt. Christ's death removed or expiated our sin and our guilt. The guilt of our sin was taken away from us, and it was placed onto Christ, who discharged it through his death on the cross. Now, according to St. John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus takes away, that is, he expiates our sins. Also in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says that the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. So he was the one who took it upon himself to remove our guilt and our sin. It wasn't anything that he had done, because he was a perfect man to come to us. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, he came as the perfect man, the only one who could come, and did come to do just that. And then the second core thing that Christ accomplished through his death was propitiation. Now that's spelled P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N, propitiation. Now, whereas expiation refers to the removal of our sins, propitiation refers to the removal of God's wrath. Oh my God, his wrath. And beyond removing the wrath, he also, in exchange for removing God's wrath, he gave us God's favor. So by dying in our place for our sins, Christ rather removed the wrath of God that we justly deserved. And then he replaces that or turns that into God's favor. Now, keeping in mind, God already loved us fully. So the wrath did not turn into love, because the love was already there. That's why Christ came. We found out in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the love was already there, but he turns his wrath into favor so that this love may realize its purpose of doing good to us every day and all things forever without sacrificing his justice and holiness. We see in the book of Romans chapter 3, verses 25 through 26, it says that God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins that were previously committed by us, and he put them onto his son. So it says again, this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of him who has faith in Jesus. So he was our propitiation. In 1 John 4:10, it also says, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." So he came not only to remove God's wrath, but also to give us God's favor. Now, the third core of what Christ accomplished by his death was reconciliation. Now, whereas expiation refers to the removal of our sins, and propitiation refers to the removal of God's wrath and in turn giving us his favor, here, reconciliation refers to the removal of our alienation from God. You see, it was our sins that alienated us or that separated us from God. But Christ's death removed this alienation and thus reconciled us to God. And we see this, for example, in Romans 5, verses 10 through 11, that says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." Christ reconciled us. And then the fourth core thing that Christ accomplished in his death is redemption. Our sins, it said, had put us in captivity from which we needed to be delivered. Now, the price that is paid to deliver someone from captivity is called a ransom. So Christ's death accomplished redemption for us, means that it accomplished deliverance from our captivity through the payment of a price. And we know that the price of sin is death. The Bible tells us in Romans that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so this was a payment that was too great for us. Why? Because of our sin nature. And so Christ came. Jesus was God in the flesh, had to come. He came as the perfect man. He gave himself a body and he came and lived among us. He lived a perfect life. He fulfilled all of the laws, all of the 613, in fact, laws. And so now when we accept and receive what he did by faith for us on our behalf, taking away and displacing this sin nature out of us, away from us, that it no longer has dominion over us, now he has redeemed us. He has paid for our sin through his death. It says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. First of all, he redeemed us from the curse of the law that came from Galatians 3:13-14. And then secondly, Christ redeemed us from the guilt of our sin. It says in Romans 3:24 that we are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And then third of all, Christ redeemed us from the power of sin, knowing that we have been redeemed, not just from the guilt, but from the power of sin. That means that our slavery to sin is broken. We are no longer bound, beloved, by the chains that this sin nature has held and gripped us with. All of this time, it has been a wedge between us and the Father. We could not get back to the Father because we did not know how to do just that. We did not know that we were his creation. We did not know that we should seek out to have a relationship with our Creator. We did not know that. And it was only until Christ was lifted high up on the cross that he made himself known to everyone in the world. Everyone, he would have himself be made known as the gospel would be shared to those that followed after that fateful day. And he himself went and he preached to those who had lived before he came in the flesh. He preached to them. So he made it known to everyone. No matter how bad you might think a person is, the worst of the worst, or no matter how good you might think a person is, the best of the good, it didn't matter. We all of us had this sin nature that we inherited. And so Christ came and he made sure that we were freed from this sin nature. We were no longer bound by it. And then the fifth core of what Christ accomplished by his death on the cross was his defeating of the powers of darkness. Christ's death was a defeat of the power of Satan. In Colossians 3:15, it says that he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by being triumphant over them in him. I love how Mr. Pierman said that Satan's only weapon that can ultimately hurt people is unforgiven sin. Unforgiven sin, beloved, is so dangerous because what we have not confessed, we cannot be forgiven of. And so those are things that we're pretty much saying, I can handle myself. I can go to God myself with those because I haven't confessed them to Christ. And so we put ourselves in jeopardy then of not being covered by the blood of Christ in those sins that have not been confessed. Christ took away this weapon from Satan. He took it away from all who would believe. He defeated him and all the powers of darkness in his death. The verse says in Colossians 2:13-14, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Again, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. The debt of sin and its payment stands against us, is on record against us. And the legal demands for it is death. That's against all of us before Christ came and took it from us by dying on the cross for us. In our place, he died for us. And then finally, this sixth core thing that Christ accomplished by him dying on the cross and is the defeat, not only the powers of Satan, but he did it all by dying as our substitute. Christ was and is our substitute. Christ accomplished all of the above benefits that we talked about, the expiation, the propitiation, the reconciliation, the redemption, and this defeating of the powers of darkness. All of those things were accomplished and came about based upon him first dying on the cross in our place. He was our substitute. He died instead of us. Not only did Christ, of course, die for us, as I've always said, when Christ died as us, he took our sins upon himself and he paid the penalty for our sin for himself. And so this is what is meant in Romans 5:8, that Christ died for us and gave himself for us. In Galatians, it says the same, that Christ gave himself for us. And that was Romans 5:8, that Christ died for us. And then Galatians 2:20, that says that he gave himself for us, rather. And then also Isaiah says that he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. That was Isaiah 53:5-6. So the substitution that Christ rendered for us, he reconciled us. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. His expiation is, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That's 1 Peter 2:24. So, beloved, Christ has given us this wonderful, awesome gift of salvation, a gift that we did not deserve, but one that he and he alone could pay and give to us by coming as a man, as the perfect man who fulfilled all of the law, all 613 of them. And so by faith, he fulfilled what we couldn't do by keeping the law. And now by faith, rather, we can receive what he did. And we receive him as our Lord and Savior. We embrace him. We take him in and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave yourself for me, for us. Christ died for all of us. And it is for us individually to receive what he did for each of us, that we might know him as our personal Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for what you did on the cross that fateful day, that what no other man could do, you came as the perfect man and you died and you took upon yourself all of our sin, the sin of not knowing you, of not acknowledging you. But you said if you would be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. So you came in order to go to the cross, in order to be lifted up, to be made known to the entire world. And we thank you that not only did you die, and thank God that you did, but that you rose from the dead, proving that you are God over sin, over death, over hell and the grave, and that you are Lord of lords and King of kings. And we receive and we accept you as our Lord and Savior, and that we will show forth your goodness and your mercy throughout our days in this land, on this earth, Father, that you get the glory in and through us. We bless you and we thank you for it all. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Until next time, beloved, shalom, shalom.